Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Universities and colleges in Rhode Island say they're bracing for cuts to federal research grants should sequestration kick in tomorrow. The University of Rhode Island says depending on cuts to defense research, it could lose either $6.4 million or $12.6 million. And Brown University estimates cuts of about $8 million. Lisa Smolsky is director of grants and research at Rhode Island College. She says the threat of sequestration has caused a lot of uncertainty. For example, Rick just got an email from the National Institutes of Health that a grant proposal is now in limbo.
And basically it said this is in the fundable range, but because we don't know what is going on with our budget at this point, we can't tell you anything.
URI says cuts in federal research grants would affect its role as a catalyst for economic development in the state. Brown is also worried about the effect cuts would have on the state's economy, saying federal research grants help fuel a knowledge-based economy. A National Rifle Association lobbyist says Rhode Island already has enough laws to prosecute gun crimes. Lobbyist Darren Goins cautioned state representatives yesterday against what he calls a rush to judgment inspired by the school shooting last year in Newtown, Connecticut.
By definition, criminals don't follow the law. We're really putting more restrictions on the law-abiding guys who today are law-abiding citizens. But if we pass some of this stuff, we're going to make some of these guys felons overnight.
Fewer than one-third of the 75 House members attended the briefing yesterday. The House is expected to debate several gun-related pieces of legislation this year. A Senate committee has now approved all 11 members for a new state board overseeing K-12 schools and higher education. As Rhode Island Public Radio's political reporter Ian Donis reports, the new board may hold its first meeting as early as next month.
The Senate Education Committee quickly approved Karen Forbes of North Kingstown. Forbes was touted as a strong advocate for education. She's been a local school committee member and served on a former state board overseeing primary and secondary education. Four of the 11 members for the new state education board have already been confirmed by the full Senate. Confirmation of the remaining seven is expected to happen in the Senate on Tuesday. Critics still question whether merging state boards overseeing K-12 and higher education is a good idea. Supporters say the stakes are too high for the concept not to work. Ian Donis, Rhode Island Public Radio.
The National Weather Service says the Patuxent River has crested and the waters are now receding. Forecasters had issued a flood warning for the river in Cranston, citing a combination of rainfall and melting snow. As of last night, the river had reached 8.6 feet, just shy of flood level. Some flooding was reported yesterday on Pippin Orchard Road in Cranston. And the Roman Catholic Diocese of Providence will hold what's called the Solemn Mass of Thanksgiving today for Pope Benedict XVI in what will be his last day in office before stepping down. Providence Bishop Thomas Tobin says the Mass will be held in gratitude for the Pope's ministry to the Church. Tobin calls the Pope's resignation an act of great humility in understanding the needs of the Church. The Mass will be held at noon today at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in Providence. You're listening to Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Sequestration is a word we're hearing a lot lately. It's those automatic spending cuts that take effect unless Congress makes a deal to avoid them. And now it's crunch time. The cuts are scheduled to take effect tomorrow. So to find out more about how they will affect the Ocean State, we turn to Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst, Scott McKay. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
So, Scott, there are hundreds of state agencies and nonprofits that receive federal funding. Who will be the hardest hit by these cuts?
Well, there's such a wide array, you're right, Elizabeth, of institutions, nonprofits, universities, the military, that depend on the federal government. For instance, everything from Meals on Wheels to folks who are disabled or shut-in elderly to Head Start programs for our youngest at-risk children to work-study programs for university students at URI and Rhode Island College, say, who are using this to try to help pay their tuition and get through college. It is going to affect just about everyone. Now, it won't happen tomorrow. It's going to roll in. The first one calls for, on day one, $85 billion, but that's nationwide. The longer this goes on, the larger impact and the deeper it's going to go into the daily lives of Rhode Islanders. And I'll tell you, the one that I think is most dramatic is by the end of April, you're going to have 5,000 civilian employees of the Defense Department here in Rhode Island who are probably going to have to take a furlough one day a week. That will mean a 20 to 22% pay cut for most of these folks. There will also, between March and September, is scheduled to be a 10% cut in unemployment benefits for our long-term unemployed. And we know in this state we have one of the nation's very highest unemployment rates.
And what about some of the larger defense companies in Rhode Island, like Electric Boat?
I think in the short term, they're going to be better off than the smaller people, a lot of the subcontractors, the engineers, the people who work for the naval underwater folks down in Newport, the people who work or subcontractor for, say, Raytheon in Portsmouth, or, again, Electric Boat down there in Quonset. There's going to be some real problems. What the Republicans did was they protected the military folks themselves, but we all know the military needs a lot of civilians to run its programs. And you look at the Newport Naval Station, you're looking at, of course, on the military contract side, all these folks who build, you know, the world's highest tech submarines. At some point, you cannot run these programs if you're just going to take a large meat cleaver and just chop it. You know, there's fat, okay? You can play with the fat for a little while, and the administration will use some accounting games, I think, to try to cushion the blow. But in the end, if there's no agreement, this thing is going to cut right into the bone of the way Americans and Rhode Islanders live every single day.
Now, you mentioned defense, but what about air travel? What about TF Green Airport?
Well, at some point, again, you know, the TSA, the folks who, you know, check your bags and go through your pockets and take your photos and everything else to make sure no terrorists get on airplanes, at some point, these folks are going to be furloughed probably down to 4-day weeks. What that's going to do, the experts tell us, is it's going to make lines longer at the airports, slow travel to major cities, and have more delays in flights and maybe even canceling flights. So that's going to be something to watch. The other problem is the air traffic controllers. With those folks getting furloughs, if that happens, there are fewer flights that they can clear for takeoff and landing. And again, that's going to clog the system. It's going to put kind of a cork in the bottle.
Now, Scott, you earlier mentioned cuts to federal student aid, but what about research? I mean, Rhode Island is hoping to change the direction of the state economy with help from major research institutions like Brown University and the University of Rhode Island, and these schools are almost entirely dependent on federal dollars to pay their research activities.
Yes, and this also will have an impact on the wider economy. I don't think people understand as much that, you know, this sequester thing is kind of like a my eyes glaze over thing, but it really comes down to things like the National Institute of Health, people that actually provide the research that bring innovation and new drugs on the market and fuel all kinds of jobs in the medical and education fields and the hospitals, which are the larger employer now in Providence. And so you're going to really put the crimp on a lot of things that, first of all, create innovation for our economy, and secondly, that really create a lot of jobs in a state that, frankly, needs them, as we all know.
So, Scott, you see a ripple effect, then, on the state economy?
You know, it's hard. Almost every economist, mainstream economist, you've looked at says this is the wrong way to go about this. Now, some of this is existential, but think about this. If you were a civilian employee of the Defense Department, and you're driving a 10-year-old car, and you know that come April, you may suffer a 20% pay decrease and furloughs. Now, are you walking into that car dealership and signing on to buy a new car? I don't think so. Are people going to be able to afford their mortgages? Are banks going to be understanding? I mean, this is going to create a lot of anxiety and probably cause some people not to invest and not to do some things that would frankly help the economy.
Now, Scott McKay, you have been speaking with Rhode Island's congressional delegation. What are they doing about this?
Well, they're all Democrats, of course, and they back President Obama in this. And they're hoping, against all hope, that they could get some kind of an agreement. They're all very upset about it. Senator Reid, Senator Whitehouse, Congressman Cicilline, and Congressman Langevin. they pretty much hoe to the party line, and you can understand that. That's where they're coming from. They think this is an artificial crisis. They think they basically have a reasonable way to deal with it, that both sides sit down and try to work this out. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of enthusiasm on the other side, that would be the House Republicans, for doing this.
Yeah, what are you hearing? I mean, is there really any chance that Congress will reach a deal at this point?
It's funny. We've morphed from a permanent campaign into a permanent crisis. It's like we lurch from one artificial crisis to another. It's like a ship that's being whipped by a never-ending storm that was caused by the crew, which deliberately sailed into the storm. It's very, very different than a lot of other things we've seen. And this has happened since 2011. We've had divided government. When the Republicans took over the House, the Democrats control the White House and the Senate, and we just keep kicking the can down the sidewalk. At some point, I think you run out of sidewalk. Now, this happened because in 2011, both sides refused to deal with the tough, tough decisions, figuring the voters would sort this out in the 2012 elections. Well, the voters, as they often do, speak with forked tongue. Put a Democrat in the White House, Democrats in the Senate, and give the Republicans, and especially the Tea Party conservative Republicans, the House.
Yeah, you know, there are people on both sides, on the left and the right, who say, you know what, we should just go over the cliff. Scott, in your opinion, is that the right approach?
No, I think it's foolish. And the reason it's foolish is because, let's just take the military. Let's posit for a minute that we have a bloated military budget. We spend almost as much on our military as all the other countries in the world. However, don't you think you'd want to make the decisions on what to cut in a strategic way? So you'd take a look at, you know, what we want to do, and therefore you say, all right, let's make a rational decision here.
Okay, well, Scott McKay, political analyst for Rhode Island Public Radio, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you, Elizabeth.